we are on Kuf Ches. No, Kuf Tes. Kuf Tes Amid Aleph. No, Kuf Tes Amid Beis. Kuf Tes Amid Beis, and we are up to Meraglim. There's an Aleph of the Grah there. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Ninth wide line, widest line on Kuf Tes Amid Beis. Meraglim ein lam chelik leilam abosh number vayimusu anachim vaytia divas aretzua b'magefa. They died b'magefa vayimusu leilam azeh b'magefa leilam abosh. The Gra removes this. It was removed by some in the Mishnah as well. So I guess it's a continuation of those that there is no Shami does not have that as part of the Mishnah. And therefore the Gra removes it over here as well. Adas kairach ein lam chelik leilam abosh. The world, the ground covered them in Eilam Hazeh. Hashem makes dead and makes alive. Brings them down to Gehenna and he brings them up. Right. He brings them down to Gehenna and he brings them up. So the Gemara...
It's
going on Adas Kairach, as we were saying. That was a tefillah that Chana said on Adas Kairach. Tanu Rabbanan, Adas Kairach ein lam chelik leilam abosh, shenem batchas aleim haaretz b'olam hazeh, v'yoyevdu mitzech hakol b'olam abosh. Dibur Rebbe Akiva. Yudim b'seirayim harhena kaveda mizbakeshes. It is like an aveda that is looked for, meaning it says vayoyvdu. Aveda doesn't necessarily mean lost permanently. Aveda means it's lost, but it can be found. Shenamar t'isi kaseh aved. I've wandered like a lamb that is lost. Bakish avdecha. However, your servant, right, will search for it. You will search for your servant. That's how we're teaching it. Bakish avdecha. You will search for your servant, meaning you will search for it. T'mitzvisecha lo shechachti, because I have not forgotten the mitzvahs, meaning yes, they were lost, but lost doesn't mean permanently lost. Lost can mean temporarily lost. So Rashi, Rudim b'Sei Roim Revayim Do'arena Kaveda Mizbakeshes Ubon Loilam Abon. They can come to Loilam Abon. Shkachom B'David Abnei Kairach. This is what David said about the children of Kairach. To Isik Kisei Oved. I've wandered like Kisei Oved. Bakish Avdecha, which means Hem Tov Kisei Oved. They wandered like a sheep that was lost. V'Atu Barachmelcho Rabim Bakish Avdecha. But you, with your great mercy, will search for your servant, who is like a lost set. Utaviyam loylam abo, and you will bring them to loylam abo. Mitzvasecha lo shechachti. Why? Because they didn't forget your mitzvahs. Shekayim kol mitzvasecha k'tosiv k'chol ayde kulam kadoshim. These were holy Jews when they started the machlokes, and therefore this is not the meraglim. This is adas kairach, and therefore since they were kol ayde kulam kadoshim, they will be zeicher according to this mandi amr that Hashem will bring them back from Gehenna. Right. And now we are going to spend a Amud Plus on the story of Kairach. Vayikach Kairach. The problem is, what is Vayikach Kairach? It doesn't say what he took. If you look in Chumash, it says Vayikach Kairach, Ben Yitzhak, Ben Kaz, Ben Levi, Dasan, Vaviran, Bnei Aliyah, Vayim, Ben Pelos, Bnei Ruvein. It doesn't say who they took, what they took. So Rashi and Chumash brings two Pshatim. One of the Pshatim is Vayikach Kairach. Yikach is a lesson of his palig. He brings the targum. He split away. Here, the Gemara Darshan is slightly different. Yikach Kairach shalokach mekach ra le'atzmai. He got himself into a bad business deal. Yikach Kairach means he took himself a bad business deal. It's not a good investment. Shalokach mekach ra le'atzmai. Then Yitzhar. But sorry, Kairach. What is the significance of Kairach? And we're darshaning the names. I don't know when Chazal do that and when they don't. But it seems Chazal seemed to think that it's important that since the Torah wrote you who he was, right, and elaborated on his yichus, that every single one of the names mentioned has a significance in saying either who he was or what he did. Kairach shenasa karcha b'Yisrael. He caused a bald spot in Klal Yisrael, meaning there were a number of people that got swallowed up, were lost, thanks to Kairach. Ben Yitzhar. Benshir siach olav kaloilam katsurayim. He angered on him the whole world like noon. I'm not 100% sure what that means, like noon. I think it means a clear anger. Maybe Rabbi Elias can help me out on this. He angered the world like noon. I'm not 100% sure what the significance of angering like noon is. Rashi says, well, we have to go back and do a few more Rashis, but I wonder what he learns that means, the significance of like noon.
He compares it to Arayim.
Noon. What does that mean, anger like noon?
It's the heat of noontime.
Meaning the heat of noontime, heat, yeah. Rashi, let's catch up with Rashi. He started the fight. They were swallowed. Ben Kahas, Ben Shehikah Shine Malidov. He dulled him. He Hikah, we say it in the Agadah, Hakeh Yeshinov, dull. What? What does he say? Blunted. The teeth of those who gave birth to him. So Tashi, she is Vaishu Avaisa the Mice of Haran. His bad acts caused embarrassment as if their teeth are blunted. Their power is blunted. Ben Levi, Ben Shanasa Lavoya Begehenim. This is a one who ended up being escorted in Gehenna, meaning got himself a escort to Gehenna. Frekti Gemara Vadukshim Nami Ben Yaakov, Ben Shakiv Asma the Gehenna. Why don't we say Ben Yaakov that he ended up in Gehenna? Akiv Asma means his end became. How does he learn Akiv Asma? His end became? He ended up, or he treacherous, or he tricked himself into Gehenna, or he was treacherous into Gehenna. Two ways to explain it. What? Head over heels. Okay, which means his heels, his end was to Gehenim. Yaakov asked that his name not be mentioned. Now, the Maral explains that when we mention names, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kaz, Ben Levi, and Chazal seem to be bothered why he doesn't say Ben Yaakov, is because anybody that comes from a family like that, there are many kaychus, genetic kaychus in the child. Coming from a family of tzaddikim like Yitzhar and Kahat, maybe, gives the child multiple strengths and kaychus and kedusha. Unfortunately, when misused, those same kaychus can be used in the tumma, for bad, for ra. And this is what Kairach ended up doing. Kairach ended up using the power of Yitzhar and Kahat and Levi, his genetic makeup that came from them, and he used that in a bad way. So the question is, why not Yaakov? Didn't he use Yaakov's power in a bad way? And the answer is Yaakov davened that his power not be involved, that don't mention my name, which means Kairach should not misuse anything he received from me. That part of Kairach that he received from Yaakov Avinu was not the part that was involved in the chet, and therefore Yaakov's name does not have to be mentioned. So the Maral learns.
Why didn't Yaakov
what?
Could have been
I don't know.
Why didn't the other one?
Exactly
what this. Why didn't the other one stop?
I don't know if anybody can, is that so simple to achieve? You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody can just get up and daven and say that my genetic thing should not be. I don't know if anybody can just do that. It's got to be a Yaakov, you know, maybe. Perhaps. So, Klashi, Bikish Rachma, Latma, Shle, Nimna, Imoim, it shouldn't be counted. Shinamar, Besoidam, Altabe Navshi, in their council, my nephew should not come. Ubekaholam, Altechat Kavaydi, in their gathering, my honor should not be mentioned. Should not be mentioned my name. It does not say Lamate Shimon ben Yaakov, Lamate Ruben ben Yaakov, Lamate Levi ben Yaakov. Yaakov's name is not mentioned by the Meraglim. And the Bekalam Altechut Kavaydi Zadas Kairach. Now, Rashi and Chumash does not explain it that way. Rashi brings a different chazal. The Besaidim Altabe Napshi refers to the story of Zimri. Now, the problem with this pshat is because Besaidim al Tavei Nabshi of Bekalim al Teichut Kavaydi is written by the Baruch of Shimon and Levi. So if you learn like the Medrash that Rashi brings, that it's going on the story of Zimri and on Kairach, then it makes sense that it's in the Baruch of Shimon and Levi. Yaakov Avinu is saying that Shimon and Levi will have descendants, and I don't want to have any part of that. So we can understand why he said that in the Baruch of Shimon and Levi. But if it's going on the Meraglim in general, why is it mentioned by Shimon and Levi? It should be mentioned as a general statement. Now, the Bekalim Al-Tehut Kavaydi is on Levi, on Kairach. The Besaidim Al-Tabi Nafshi is on all Shvatim equally. So why did Shimon earn that in his bracha? So the Mashah says, a Chiddush Nifla. And it's the Mashah says that maybe, he says, I think he says it in the Derech Efker. So the Mashal says, Ulai Kabbalah Haye Biyadam, Shamaragu Mishavit Shimon, Hu Haye Baha Maisa Bifne Beneyam. That perhaps the Miragu from Shevet Shimon was the leader of the ones that came up with the idea. And therefore, it was in his Shevet that Yaakov Avinu Davin beside the Maltavi Nafshi. It's a very interesting thing, because in the Parshas Miraglim, Shafet Ben Chayri, who I think was the Miragu for Shimon, Lamati Shimon Shafet Ben Chayri, I think it is, there's no honorable mention given to him, or dishonorable mention given to him, any special than any other of the Miraglim. But yet the Mashah says, Ulai Kabbalah Haye Biyadam. This is the Mashah that says that perhaps the Kabbalah was that he was the leader of the Miraglim, and therefore it's in his Shevet that this has to be mentioned, that's what happened. Some want to learn a little bit differently in the Tefillah of Yaakov Avinu. Theoretically speaking, it could be that the kaichus that led to the story of Kairach came from a Yaakov Avinu, meaning everybody has, it's similar to the Maral, but it's a little different. Everybody has kaichus, it's very similar to the Maral, maybe it's explaining the Maral. Everybody has kaichus that they inherited, they got from different sets of parents, grandparents, and they're supposed to use it in a good way, and they misuse it. So the truth is, the ability for Kairach to be Kairach might have been part of Yaakov Avinu, might have come from something he inherited from Yaakov Avinu, and being a trait misused, misapplied, but came from him. And Yaakov is davening that he not be mentioned. And the way the Maral explains it is that Kairach not come from him, that not be the cause, that his involvement not be the cause. It's very similar to the Maral of what happened. That's the Gemara
Vayikra. If we're supposed to, when Levi and by Kahaz, this is an einish for them, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's just saying that their kayach was misused and misapplied. I mean, let me give you a mashal. You can have a person with unbelievable leadership qualities that he got from his father, who was a leader in Klal Yisrael, and he uses his leadership qualities that he got genetically, and he uses it to lead something bad. So where did he receive those leadership qualities? Where did that midah come to him from? That midah is he got genetically from his parents. So therefore, he misuses and misapplies that kayak that he receives. And so it is with a lot of other character traits, midahs, Kedusha traits, it could be misused and misapplied. So Kairach takes those kaichas that he received and misuses them and misapplies them. Now, theoretically, it could have come from Yaakov Avinu as well, that he misused or misapplied. Now, without the Maral, I would say, Yaakov Avinu is saying, my name shouldn't be mentioned, even though it might come from me. And the Maral is saying, his tefillah was more than that. My kaiach shouldn't be involved. That's what he's saying. That's the Gemara right. Dasan, why is he called Dasan? Sha'avar al das kale. He transgressed the laws of the Rabbanish Shlomo. Aviram, this is Aviram. She'iber, and the Gra takes out the word Atzmai, me'asayis tshuva. He strengthened his heart from doing tshuva. The Ein, why is Ein ben Pelas called Ein? She'yashav aninus. He spent the rest of his life sitting in Aninus, in mourning. Aninus is not really mourning, but it's a similar to mourning. What is Rabbi Elias translated as? He did tshuva the rest of his life. Aninus is
mourning.
Okay. In mourning, he did tshuva. Peles, sha'asuloi nasuloi plois. Yet nisim happened to him that he got saved from the Atzas of Adas Kairach, Ben Ruvain Ben Shirah Behaven. He was Ayim Ben Pelas. It says Bnei Ruvain in the pasuk. It's interesting, but we're darshaning it to go directly on Pelas that he understood that he's not doing the right thing and he pulled out. Either he understood or his wife understood, but he understood now, or his wife explained it then. Now the interesting thing, the Shach al HaTaira is written by an early Achron, not the Shach, it's called the Shach al HaTaira. He says that Ninus was that he had to have his wife save him. Afterwards, he like there was a feeling of, how could I have done it? Why did I need someone else to teach me right from wrong? Why didn't I get to it on my own? That was the Aninus. The Aninus was that his tshuva was, his saving happened through somebody else, not through himself.
Ezer.
Again, that's how the Shach al HaTaira learned the Aninus. I'm just quoting. I'm not saying it was wrong. He felt that he had not risen to the occasion like he should have. That's all. Rashi. Elu meraglim zakrashi like sibahem. One before that, I guess. Because Rav Master said, "Nimli Moshe should be counted." Meraglim like sibahem played by Yaakov. Shibu levavi chizik levavi. He strengthened his heart. Come abiri leiv. Joshua baninus joshua tshuva shoyim mom tchilu beitzav. He did tshuva that he was included in their council. Nasu leklos shenitzul mem that he was saved. Well, the haven shame and hugim kashura that they're not acting appropriately or perish mem. Something to marvay them a rav. Ayin ben pelus ishta hitzilasayim. Ayin ben pelus was saved by his wife. Amalei, she said to him, "My napkulachmina, what do you care who wins? Imar Rabban Tamida, Imar Rabban Tamida. If Yibaish is the Rebbe, you're a Talmud. If Kairach is the Rebbe, you're a Talmud. What do you gain? Amalei, my Eved, what should I do? Havoi be'etza, I was included in the group. Vishtabi li badayu, and I swore with them. They take out the word li. Vishtabi badayu, I swore to them that I would be part of it. Now, according to some, this is a shvur that's not chal. Because it's lavra of the Britaira, because there's a lav to be involved in a machloikis, as we will learn later on, to make machloikis rishayim, that one of the lavin in the Taira, according to the Samag and Rabbeinu Yoina, is not to do machloikis, it's a lav in the Taira. Even according to those who don't count it, but it's definitely something wrong. So the Chafetz Chaim asked, why is he worried about his shvuah? It was a shvuah shav. There's no way, the shvuah is not chal, you can't swear to be over of the Britaira. So why is he concerned about his shvuah? So if I remember correctly, the Chofetz Chaim said, it's not a halachic question of Shvuah, it's that he feels bound by his word, that he, now how do I get out of telling them, if I swore to them that I would join, how do I back out in a diplomatic way without getting into a mess, the fact that I'm, quote unquote, double-crossing them.
He didn't do it for the sake of, I'm not saying about Korach, but him, he didn't do it for the sake of Achlokas, he did it for the sake of thought that other side might be right, or now he's saying he's
whatever it is, whatever it is, it ended up being a shvua to end up with a machloikas. When you start fighting in a Maish Rabbeinu, it's machloikas, and it's against the Torah, and therefore the Chofetz Chaim asks in Shmiras HaLashon, why is the shvua chal?
But it seems like he says, I don't know which side to take. I'll take either Moshe side or Korach.
That's his wife told him.
That's his wife talking.
Amra, so she said,
Alifaz.
What does Alifaz have to do with Ayin Ben Pelus?
No, I'm saying the same thing. Tall, over the ace of tall, of your kill.
I mean, it's not a chumash here now. We're not learning about Alifaz.
That's their question. I mean, it bothers me for many years.
I know, but what does the guy do with Ayin Ben Pelus?
No, I'm not saying. It's saying he swore. Do you swear to him that?
Doesn't say he swore. Doesn't say a word. I swore as well. He said, "My father's Tiva lie. I'll be Tiva lie."
Therefore, big deal. So he's been. But the point that I'm stressing is, it's an
Aveira,
right?
Alifaz is not. That's not Alifaz's problem. You know, I mean, we're not dealing with Alifaz and Ayman Pelos on the same thing.
No, Ayman
Pelos is a frum Jew, and Alifaz is a Shagat. You know, I mean, let's remember.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, hold on.
Yes, I'll say it again. Ayman Pelos is a frum Jew, and Alifaz was a Shagat.
You're arguing on the verse before she.
Well, they say Alifaz at what? Is that the same?
Oh, sorry, Alifaz. I'm sorry.
No, but he took the Shtigl Torah. What if he took the Shtigl Torah? He said, "Well, take your money."
My Rebbe learned he didn't take the Shtigl Torah. Adi Chashiv Tumeis is not a Shtigl Torah. It's a reality. And Ani has no influence. Ani Chashiv Tumeis is not a Shtigl Torah. Ani Chashiv Tumeis is a reality. So I heard from my Rebbe, because I asked him this, Rabbi, I don't know why we're talking about a leaf in the middle of Ayin Ben Pelus, but you brought it up.
I did?
Yes, but my Rebbe told me, Rabbi Weinberg told me, Weinberg Zichrono Livracha told me that Shat and Alifaz was very clear. Esav wanted to diminish Yaakov's influence. There's many ways you can diminish somebody's influence. One is by eliminating him, and the other way is by eliminating his money. He becomes a person with no influence. Ani Chashiv Tumeis is not a drasha. It's reality, unless you belong to Occupy Wall Street or something like that. That's the Gemara advice. Amri Yadana the Kula Knishta Kadishta Nino. She says, I know that the whole group is holy people. They are very chashiva people. The Sivti Kala Eda Kulam Kadash. Amri Le Tub Danamatonovak. So she says, sit, I will save you. Ashkisa Khamra, she gave him to drink wine. He shouldn't be an hindrance to her as she executes her plan. Varvi saying she got him drunk. Radisa Gavoy, she put him to sleep inside. Aiswa Baba, she sat down on the door. Vesasa Sulamaje, she took apart her hair. Told the Asa Khaja, ever came and saw her, Hadar went away. There was no way they were going to a lady with uncovered hair. And the Haki Vahaki Ivlu Itsu the Kairach, while that happened, Ibluhu, they got swallowed into the ground, and she saved them. Rashi, Imai, Rabbi, Yenatzich, Moshe, Mikomakam, at the Talmud, you're still the student, Kayach, Menatayach, at the Talmud. Malukha, Bistro, Rezu, what do you need it for? Havoy, Beitan, Yisimon, Beitan, Vishbati, Lem, Shim, Kuruni, they call me, Elohim, I'll go. The Kulu, to the finish the Kaddishim, Kulum, Snuim, Kaddishim. La Yichnasu, Eli, they will not enter my Nitru, if my hair is uncovered. Patsasu, Lamaz, Yasara, her, Yashua, Pesach, Abayas. Whoever came to her, call him Raya Raisha Perua Bechaiser. They didn't want him. Somebody who has a wife like that, they wanted no part of him. And they ran away from him, which saved his life. Yes?
I'm sorry, go back to Shiloh. Brain freeze. But there's a mechanism by which you can make an oath which is binding, which has a secondary result of not being able to do
this. This is swearing to do an Avera. This is not swearing not to do a mitzvah. This is swearing to join a machlokes. And according to many Rishonim, there's a law in the Torah.
But this just says he swore. It doesn't say what he swore.
He swore to join them. Rashi says he swore that when they call him, he will go.
But didn't the mitzvah?
They're not calling him to eat shalosh shudas. That's not what they're calling him for.
But there is a. I mean, the Chabad Chaim.
Well, they knew the law before. The Torah might not have written it before. No new law were added. The wording of the law was written after it. Again, what do you think? The Messiah is given in Sinai, we're not given in Sinai. Can't say that. I'm not saying not. I'm just saying you can't say that because then you're saying Torah changed. That's the Gemara Vayter at the Hachiva. It's to the Kairach, the wife of Kairach Amalei. She said, "Chazi my covered Moshe. Look what Moshe does. You have a Malka. He's the king." His brother he made Kohen Gadol. The Ve'achu, his brother's son, Shavinu Sagina the Kana, he made him the assistant Kohanim Gedolim. He asked you Truma when Truma comes, Amit Tehevi L'Kayin. He asked you Meiser, the Shaklisu Atan, even if the Meiser comes, which the Levim get. Amar, he says, Habuchad Miyud L'Kayin, give a tenth to the Kayin. So I, the guy's with the Mizaychi, he cuts off your hair, Omatalaluchu, and he, Matalaluchu means, plays around with you, he smocks you.
Make sport of you.
He cooks the like dung. Now, what happens is, I mean, how is it like dung? She's saying, he comes along and tells you it's a mitzvah for all the Levim to cut off their hair. So then at least the hair should be used as a carbon by a Nazir. When they cut off the hair, it's cooked under the pot in the Beis HaMikdash. Something's done with the hair positive. This hair is thrown into the garbage. Like, he's mocking you, right? And then when he cuts off your hair, the hair is treated like garbage. There's like nothing to it. Ain't he other Mizaychu? He's just dumb. He wants you guys not to look decent. So he wants your hair off. Because a person's hair is a source of his, quote unquote, beauty, handsomeness, right? Misalso Basarai, right? So therefore, he wants your hair off. That's what he wants. Let me just finish. Amalah, so he answered, oh, Inami Kavan. He also cut off his hair. Amar Lake, even the Kulu Ravusi today, it's all his greatness. Amar Iunami Thomas Namishim pushed him. So he says, I might as well do it also. Get everybody to do it. I'm doing it by my own free will. They're doing it by my orders. So it's Kedai. Thomas Namishim pushed him. Behind, let me just catch up with Rashi. Dr. Rashi, my solution to Shaklisu Atam, Amar Habukhad, Meyud the Kayan, give one tenth to the Kayan. Guys, I'm a Zagat of Siva, Viru Tarakal Psaram. Take off a razor on the Psarim in Sachik Bechem, and he plays with you, give us shake them as if they're fools. The Kupsa Rei, Dung, Kamei Betula the Kupsa, the shade of the Dung, the Mina Leel, Kiglau Hazatim Chashubim Beinov. You are treated in his eyes, you're like Dung. Eina Yav, Ein Asim Sarechem, he has his eye in your hair, Kdei Shtei Bechem Tzura Kamei Seh, nobody should have the Tzura that he has. That's not true. He obviously doesn't care about the tzura. He cut off his hair too. Even the kulu rabusa didehu ain't a chayishim gilachatzma. He doesn't care. The kamel namshi comes namshi and plish them. Exit sari kamaitzam. I will cut off my hair like that. Umali b'kach. What do I care? Shame akayim. Afilu mashani mitzava lischay. They're keeping what I saying even to play around. Exit achshim kamaitzam. They love his daitzam. I'll beat them by cutting off my hair as well. But it shows my power. I can wield my power. I can get them to act like fools. That's how she accused my shrabeinu of. Yes.
This bothers me to no end.
Please, not Alifas.
Right.
Yes.
Chavo. When she did the Aveira, Torah says it straight out. Everyone says, you know what I mean? She was bad news, right? When Torah says Kairach, Kairach. For good or for bad, what happened to the put? If a woman does something bad, put her to the Torah. She's the one that led him. When he says Ain Slim Dvar Avera, the person who set the person, he's fine person. Both people are no good, right? Why are we giving him, the man, all the negative, all the dung, and she's sitting back behind the scenes, who really is the one that caused it? If she wouldn't have said it to him, would he have done it? That's the question.
I must say I was bothered by your cross.
You know, this is a Benjamin thing. Thank you. I mean, I felt very good.
It's in the 3800s or even in the 3700s, Benjamin, to this question.
The Torah attributes everything to Korach. Now it's a wife. It's Akav. It's not the Zevo, really, that was the...
I think the edge, again, I think that's just Rob. We'll get back to Rob before, yes.
Now, Lisa's thing was a little stretch, but this...
Lisa's is listed as the tzaddik by the Mefarshei Iyyim. Take a look at the first...
Anyway, yes, that's right.
However, I mean, if you want to ask the question, make the question even better. It's called a chedavad amarishim, where according to Tushit, it's in the Chazal, he didn't even know what he was eating. I have never seen anyone call it the chedavad amarishim, and there are reasons for it.
No, but the Torah does mention Chava rather explicitly that she did it. And Chazal blame Chava. He comes to Nerish Alaylam. Chazal definitely put a big share on the woman in the Chet of Eitz Hadaat. There's no doubt about it.
As I recall, someone once taught me that the Minhag Yisrael Kadesh made. And I have never heard anyone say
again, we'll go back again. I mean, whatever way you're going to say it, Chazal definitely attributes the cake to her. The Pasuk talks about her role in it. But he's bothered. He's not bothered that Kairos should be exonerated. His question is not that Kairos should be exonerated. His question is that there should be a mention in the Torah of the fact that Kairos was led to by his wife. That's his question.
If you look at the Battle of the Bulge, it nowhere says that, you know, that the names of the individual soldiers. It says George Patton.
Battle of the Bulge, both of Bronx and Iron.
I don't get it. But the interesting is, by Alifaz, he says to me, I'm a goyin. In the same deep where he says, by
you look at the leader.
I see it as differently. I see that that the difference between Chav and Adam and Kairach's wife and Kairach, I see it as completely different. I see it that Chava's role was the Sutton's way into Adam was through Chava. Kairach did not present the argument to Moshe the way his wife came to him. Let me explain. His wife diminished Moshe in his eyes. That led him to lead a machloikas against Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a total different machloikas. He did not go to people and tell them, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu is a good-for-nothing who makes us like dung. He did not do that. He went to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we all want to be Kahanim Gedolim. Kairach had this desire. He believed very firmly, and Kairach was a very big person. He was Menaitse Aaron. He believed very firmly that everybody should be able to rise to their own level in Avedis Hashem. However, he did not want to take on a Moshe Rabbeinu. No matter what he was, there was a fear of taking on Moshe Rabbeinu. What his wife did by her, she demeaned Moshe. He became, quote-unquote, human enough that Kairach could take him on in his battle or what he thought was right and wrong. I don't think that Kairach's hate caused by his wife, similar to the Eitz Hadas, where Chava fed Adam the same piece of fruit that she had eaten. Here, she, what Kairach's wife did was demeaned Maisha, made Maisha a foe that you can take on in the eyes of Kairach. Therefore, he now goes and takes on Kairach, Maisha, in his own battle. He does not fight his wife's battle. He does not mean Maisha. He does not go around and demean Maisha. Now, he does automatically, by claiming that Maisha Rabbeinu is the one that gave the Torah his way, and by Maisha Rabbeinu had persuaded the Rabbeinu Shalom to do things his way, but the Rabbeinu Shalom would really want you to do it my way as well, and my way is just as good, which is what Kairach signed it. He is demeaning Maisha Rabbeinu. But it's not the demeaning Maisha Rabbeinu of his way. He doesn't go around and tell people Maisha Rabbeinu treats people like dung. I don't know if that would sell. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. But he quote unquote, brings Maisha down, she brought Maisha down in his eyes to the level that you can take him on. And therefore, his drive to reach the Madrega of Kahuna Gedayla, which was his drive, which was driven by jealousy again, Chazal tell us it was driven by jealousy, but it was not a jealousy that he was aware of, it was a latent jealousy in him, and therefore it led him down the wrong road, because whatever you're going to make with Kairach, the Mepharshim make him out a very big person. As my Rebbe told me, the bigger you make him, the smaller you make him, because Lamaisa, he made a terrible mistake. So the bigger you make him, the mistake becomes more terrible, not less terrible. But the bottom line is, I don't see that it was her persuading that directly made the chait into what it was. Her persuading laid the groundwork for the chait, different than Chav and Adam. Again, that's my understanding of it. Yes.
We need a study, and that would certainly better of Margaret and his understanding of the he is as well as certainly the Lubberg. However, it seems to me the similarity is that the ability of a lower level to influence a higher level is only insofar as there's that tendency within the higher level itself, which is exactly what Rav Margaret just said. And oddly enough, there are certain people who talk about the Chedet Eidadas in very much the same language. Yes, you can't...
But it was the same thing. Whereas here it was a different thing. That's all I'm saying. Different manifestation. Let's just put it this way.
The woman is the instantiation and magnification of the internal tendency. Highest level of the highest part of the lower level and then the lowest part of the higher level.
But also, I would also, you know, wouldn't it be a beautiful thing also to give Olam Ben Peles' wife a lot of credit in the Torah?
We did. We're going to give it to her right now.
No.
The Navi.
We give Chachmas
Nashimah. Right. Olam Ben Peles is mentioned one time. Nothing else is ever said about it.
First of all, what's interesting to note is that when you read it, Sukim, it seems like he's just like everybody else.
And then he never gets mentioned again.
No, but no.
And then he never gets mentioned again.
That's the Griusa. You have to, the way you figure out that he was
right.
He was decent is
right.
That, oh, you know what? At the time
you know,
he died,
the Tyrus does not put everything into Tyrus himself. That's why there's Tyrus about that. You're asking me which parts go into Tarishim Tzav and which parts go into Tarishim Abed. It's not a fair question.
So
the same Tyra.
It's
not a lesser Tyra because it's a Mesechta Sanhedrin.
What I'm trying to say is the only way we know...
That's what Chazal are there for. That's the Tarishim Abed.
The
only way you know the Dam Shratzim is Usher is from an extra hay. Right? So an extra vav or an extra hay. You know, why isn't it there? I have to learn it from a Gemara. It's a Griusa.
No, but what I'm saying is...
That's Tyrus of Abed.
You're reading it in Psukim. The Psukim say...
The Psukim is not a storybook. Not a storybook.
They're all... Yaakov didn't want any part of it because it would be a bad shame for him, right?
Exactly.
So, oh...
That's not in the Pasuk either, by the way. That's also in Teresh above that.
But he wasn't there. The vice is not there, right?
Right. So Ayin is there because he was originally part of it.
But,
if not, you would never see a hint of the story. Rashi. Dr. Rashi. Back to the Gemara. There is no Rashi on this. Dr. Gemara, I have already come to Luhu, and he says to you, Abdisu Tchilta. Go do tchelus. Isam kedaita tchelta chashiva mitzvah. If it's such a mitzvah to put on tchelus, apik limi the tchelta. Take clothing made out tchelus. Kesivu lekulam asifta can cover your whole yeshiva. We know that Kairach had a big kaitel. Kairach fed a lot of big tamidah chacham and he gave them extra food. And they were in his camp. That's not Merebbe's famous part. Kairach had a kaitel, he said. And therefore, when he went against them, the people that he paid to learn, that he provided them with food. We had it earlier in the seventh parak that Kairach gave people food, it was very hard to fight them because Mamaisa, he was the source of their panasa. And therefore, they ended up being influenced by the fact that he supported them. And, what? Obviously, he gave them extras because the Gemara says he gave them legima. That was in the seventh parak.
And this is why we're still talking? Or?
Yes. The wisdom of women built the house, the velas and the foolish one, but shatters it with her own hand. She ruined her own house. Rashi, I'm sorry, make a thread of trailers at the four corners of the bag. Why isn't the whole bag of trailers? Cover your whole yeshiva. The keys of them in base medrash, covered them in base medrash after the chavrusach, you and your group. They went up and stood in front of Moshe v'anoshim, and they saw 250 people with him. Yuchadim shebe'edam. They were special people in the Eidah. These were big, big people. Kriyei Mayed. What does Kriyei Mayed mean? Shayyidim ma'aber shanam l'kvaya chadashim. They knew how to be ma'aber the years and to set chadashim, to set away the months. Anshe Shem, Shehoyalam Shem B'chaloyalam. They had a name in the whole world. You mentioned their name, everybody knew who they were. These were not small people. These were big people because he got them by appealing to their desire to grow in Ruchnias. We can all rise to the level we can achieve. Why is there a system where we are limited in our ability to rise in Ruchnias? I can't be a kind of... Why? Let every person go up to the Madrega they can reach. So the bigger the person, the more he wants this. Let me grow to my own Madrega. Why am I limited? Why am I cut off from certain Madregas that I cannot achieve? That was the way he got them to come along with him. Anje Shem, Shloilam Shem, Shloilam Shem, B'chaloilam. So Rashi, no Rashi. I just have to speak out of art for my Reshiva, and again, it does not fit in to the way I explained the Gemara until now, but it's a beautiful art nonetheless. Kriyei Mayed. So the Gemara says Kriyei Mayed means they knew how to be Ma'abir Shanim. So my Reshiva said a different part. He said, if you look at Kairach, he had Tainus and Matnus Kahuna. Right? He brought this lady, the Medrash says, and he said she had a piece of land, and they took away this and that, and then she sold it and got a sheep. They took gracious, I guess. She shechted it. They took Zerah L'chai B'Kareva. Whenever you turn around, the Kain is taking something. My Reshiva said, the desire says there are two kinds of Tamid HaChachamim. There's a Tamid HaChachamim B'Kinah Shabbos, and there's a Tamid HaChachamim B'Kinah Yamkus. Tamid HaChachamim B'Kinah Shabbos is somebody who doesn't. He sits and learns all the time. Sits and learns all the time, and that's his thing. He sits and learns. The Tamid HaChachamim B'Kinah Shabbos. Then the Tamid HaChachamim B'Kinah Yom Tov. He does Eichel Nefesh. Eichel Nefesh is mutter. He earns a living. And then, the rest of the time he learns. So, people who taina matnas kahuna are people, the Kahanim are supposed to sit and learn all day. They're supposed to work in the Beis HaMikdash. They're supposed to serve the Rabbanim Shalom. And Klai Yisrael is supposed to support them. So he brought along Kriyei Mayed. He brought along people who were Tamid HaChachamim B'Kinah Yom Tov. They were called Yom Tov. They felt, no, everybody should go out and earn his own living. Everybody should go out. We don't need kahuna. Let people work for a living and learn the rest of the time. Like Yom Tov, you can do Eichel Nefesh, and then afterwards you can serve the Rabbinic Shalom. Why do we need people that don't work at all, that sit and learn and are supported by others, like kahuna? That was his taina. So he took people, the Kriyei Mayed. They were called Tamid HaChachamim B'Kinah Yom Tov. That's what my Rishiva said, shot in the pasuk. I said it once, told it to me. Personally, he came, I was sitting in his house. Tell me you've shot in that pasuk, Kriyei Mayed. The Tamid HaChachamim B'Kinah Yom Tov. You know, people that say, you don't need people to sit and learn all day. Hey, you can work, earn a living, and learn the rest of the time. That's Kriyei Mayed, he said. That's not the Tamid HaChachamim B'Kinah Shabbos. That's not the one that sits and learns all the time. Because he needs Matnas Kahuna. He needs Matnas Kahuna to support him. And Kairach was trying to undermine Matnas Kahuna. Again, just here for a moment. Moshe heard and fell on his face. What did he hear that made him fall on his face? What happened was, Pashim Shat, they accused him of having illicit relationships. They were mekane, they warned. Mekane is the lesson of kinoi in the camp. Moshe moved out of the machna. Now, the Mashal learns That pshat, I'm going to learn, speak about the mashash pshat. There's like 50 pshatim on this Gemara. What does it mean? That they were mekane maisha? Are they crazy or something? I mean, how you warm that your wife, don't you dare be miyachid with maisha Rabbeinu. As if maisha Rabbeinu is going around. I mean, what do we think is happening? Mashash says, pashim pshat, is that they did not believe it's physically possible for a person to be parish me'ishtay for all those years. They didn't think it was humanly possible for a person to control his desire to be parish me'ishtay, totally removed from his wife. Obviously, there's hanky-panky going on. We don't know where, we don't know what, but what people say is happening is for sure not happening. He is not living a life. Correct English word is esoteric. Is that what those are? Right.
Aesthetic.
Right. That would be a thing. Aesthetic. He's not living that kind of life. It's not real. It's not possible. That's what Masha said. And therefore, they all said to their wives, we don't know where he's messing around, but you better not be the one. That's what the Masha learned
that.
About it.
I can't believe
that. As I stayed in Masha.
No, I can believe that, but I can't believe, I couldn't say out of my mouth about Revoisha anything like that.
Again, I'm just telling you.
I understand.
That others want to learn that this is a Kabbalistic thing that had to do with some thing that they were clashing them. Again, watch him shot. My shot can't play. Yes.
It's very straightforward. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mishpia on all of Klal Yisrael and all of Klal Yisrael's Mishpia. But with the Marsha, nobody knew it all until Tzipora happened to mention it by Eldad and Megad. Who knew?
I guess, according to my show, people did know. I guess. I don't know. It's a good point. You're making a good point. Valid point. But this is my show. I learned
the Gemara. This is very difficult. The Gemara. I don't think I can figure out what should be in Mushma, but
now Rashi doesn't learn like the Mashab, because Rashi says moving out of the Machna was to keep him out of Rashab. Well, that could be still according to the Mashab. So he moved out, but nobody can say he's engaged in any hanky panky. Rashi, Kinel Ishtai, Altistri and Mesha, Kino Hainu Asra, Tatsra. The Nakhla and Bukhutma Machna, Yatsi Bukhutma Machna, Shech Shidu Void, people should not accuse him anymore.
What do you mean by nobody knew until Sephora mentioned this?
Well, it's Mashma in the Pasuk that Sapphira mentioned when she heard Elder the Maid became the Vim, and she said, Eilin Shasem Shalela, both of their wives. That's how Miriam found out that Moshe had separated from his wife.
That he moves out of the Mashma, didn't give her a clue?
That did not say that he didn't come home at times.
People would know if he comes home.
Again, the Rashi and Chumash says that Miriam found out at that point. So you have a Kash on Rashi and Chumash. This is what Rashi and Chumash says. That's what Avraham is asking.
How long was
you can have a kasha. It's obviously there's an answer, right?
How long was it for?
What?
He was separated?
From Hatan Tyra to the end of his life. 40 years.
Did he have a
That was Miriam's Sina, and that's what she got punished for asking that question.
No, that's good. I didn't know that. What's the answer to that question?
The client gives two answers to that question. He gives two answers to the question of didn't he have halacha vayna?
Okay.
One answer he says is it's a very fair question. If you want to ask the question, you go to Moshe Rabbeinu and ask him the question. Go to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, Moshe Rabbeinu, teach me why you are not. And why don't you ask Moshe Rabbeinu? Why are you asking Aaron? That's lashon hara. That's why she got punished. She meant well. She meant a mitzvah. She thought Moshe Rabbeinu was doing wrong. And she went to Aaron and she said, we got to do something. Moshe Rabbeinu is doing an Aveira. Got to save him. That was a mistake. If you have a taina on somebody, you go over to the person and say, explain your actions. And you don't go to anybody else. That's one of the things. And in other place, the Masha does not like that. He dismisses that shot. And he says a different shot. And he says she should have been aware about the mile of Moshe Rabbeinu over everybody else. And therefore, his Madrega of Nevuah made him impossible to keep that mitzvah. She should have been aware of that. Her chesaron was in the lack of seeing the difference between the Nevuah of the Avos and the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why in the answer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Loichei Moshe Abdi, B'chol Beisi Nemanhu, Pal Pal Dabarbay, is a whole arichas on Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, because that was her mistake, her lack of understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, and she should have known that. And by not knowing that, that was her guilt. That's what the Chofetz Chaim says. Something in my advice. Amar Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak Malamit by Kanu Lama. We did that already. Tata Gemara by Vayakim Moshe by Yelach Al Dasa Baviran. He goes to Dasa and Aviran. Amar Eshlokish Mikan Shein Magzikim Mamachloikus. It is incumbent on a person to try to end fights. And the Mepharshim say, even if you're right, even if you're right, Machloikus is worse than anything. You go and try to make up the Machloikus, even if you're right and they're wrong, which very rarely can be said about any Machloikus on any side. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was right, and still he went to get Dasan Rav Hiram not to fight. The Trashi Mekanshe Machzikim Machloikus Shemochel HaKvoidoi Hu Atzim HaHalach Levatu Machloikus. Not to be Machzik V'Machloikus, he was allowed. The Amarav called Machzik V'Machloikus Iver B'Lav. And that's even if you're right. If you don't try to stop a machloikus, it's a lav. The Chafetz Chaim writes in Shmiras HaLashon that every person should have a fund, a shalom fund, where he don't puts money in on a regular basis, little at a time, that in case any monetary argument comes up with somebody and things get heated because it's money, he should pull out the money from the shalom fund and give it to himself, and that'll make up the lost money and not have a machloikus. So the Chafetz Chaim writes. Chafetz Chaim says that. Chafetz Chaim says, you put away a few dollars a week in a fund, it's your shalom fund. And the next time you're fighting over $300, and $300 is bothering you, how could the guy steal $300 from me? And therefore you're going to be a big machloikus, take $300 out of your shalom fund, put it in your bank account, and then don't worry about it. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. Rav Ashi Amar Roy Litzare. Rav Ashi says, he's roy to be have a mitzras. Ksiv hacha. You know, I have to say this story. It was a very interesting story. I told the kids this Chafetz Chaim in my class that they should make that there's such a thing called the shalom fund. That whenever they fight over a quarter or 50 cents, my shalom fund covers it for them. That was the deal we made at the beginning. Because it's not worth it, we should kill each other for 50 cents. My shalom fund. So one kid went home and told his parents that there's a shalom fund. I get a call from this lady.
All right, you have a fund that they can take from your money.
It's whatever it is, it's a small amount of money. It's 50 cents, no big deal. So one kid goes home and tells his parents about it. One day I get a call. A lady calls me, she says, she hears I have a shalom fund. So I say, yes. So she says that there's an argument she's having with her neighbor, and it's a matter of principle, and there's no way in the world she's going to give in, and no way in the world is the neighbor going to give in, and it's $100. Would the shalom fund cover the $100? And she'll make a donation to the shalom fund. I said, for sure. I sent her a check for $100, and she sent me back a donation for $100 to my shalom fund. She was not going to give in to the neighbor that she was going to pay this $100. No way was she going to give in that she was wrong. She was right. The neighbor should pay it. The neighbor said, I'm right. I'm not paying it. So the shalom fund paid it. She went to the neighbor and said, somebody else is willing to cover it. No problem. Then she gave the $100 back. Right? But she would not dare admit, this is human nature. She couldn't go to her neighbor and say, fine, I'll pay for it, because that would mean you were wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm right. I'm not giving in. You know, there's a shalom fund that'll cut it. It's very interesting. It was a result of the 25 cents. It's a result of the 25 cents that I throw into the kids. But it's all human nature. It didn't cost me a penny. It cost me nothing. She said she'd make me a donation. I assumed that she would give me back the money. I didn't know how, what, when. You know, I figured I'd take, you know, I sent $100. I sent her a check. I was out of town. I was in camp. Sent her a check. She sent me back a check in the mail for $100 to the shalom fund. So, which never existed. Only existed for my kids for 50 cents in the class. But it made no difference because it was a great idea. I saved the machloikas without costing me a penny. But it was all, it just shows how stupid machloikas is. The lady's willing to spend $100, but not to give in that she was wrong.
First so,
then I would have taken the loss. Then you wouldn't have heard the story. You're only hearing the story, but it didn't cost me anything. What? It's better than the alternative. Meaning, the right thing would have been to say, forget about it. But, no, it isn't, because they made up. The machlokes is gone. She did the right thing, meaning she solved the machlokes. She didn't do it. She couldn't bring herself to eat crow. Right? She couldn't bring herself to admit that she was wrong. But she at least took care of the fact that there's no machlokes.
Still,
share part of it, but the principle is still there.
They're not fighting over principle, they were fighting over $100.
When they say it's not the money.
Republicans can do that with Obama.
Yeah. Many times. He pays without admitting guilt.
Exactly, right.
Good story, obviously.
That's what Mr. Fitzing is pointing out. People pay without admitting guilt. There is such a concept in the thing. Nobody wants to admit they're wrong. Fine, don't admit you're wrong, but pay anyway. That's the idea. That's the Gemara
advice. That's a whole legal. No, no
one contender. Yeah, right. No one contender. That's the Gemara advice. Shenamer liyik kayach v'adasai. Ravashi amir roi litzare. He's roi to have tzaras. Tzivach abiyad Moshe loy. Says in the hands of Moshe to him. Bring your hand into your pocket, right? So, b'yad ma'ishaloi, it says by machloikas, to say that that's what he's going to get. People that fight will get tzaras. Or at least the roi to get tzaras. Now, the Chofetz Chaim says, we don't see anybody getting tzaras, not for lashon hara, not for fighting, not for anything else. So, the Chofetz Chaim brings two answers. One, he says that we're not in the madrega. Tzaras is a madrega. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is communicating on a direct basis. We're not holding at that madrega anymore. And number two, the Chofetz Chaim says is that he brings from a safer hakana. The poverty is our tzaras of today. That Kadosh Baruch Hu, if he wants to send a person something that's similar to tzaras, sends poverty to a person. So the safer hakana says.
Tzaras, chushiv kemes.
Right, same idea, because they're both chushiv kemes. Rashi, Mikar Shem and Machzikim and Machloikus Shemachal Akhoi with that. Chaylik Arava is Viter. Satakim are Viter. Amarav Yaisi Kala Chaylik Amalkus Beisavid Roy Lakisha Nachash. One who's arguing Amalkus Beisavid is Roy to be bitten by a snake. Sivaka says over here, by Yizbach Adinio, Chaynu Bakar, or Mri, he shechted sheep, cattle. Mri is a different kind of cattle. What is Mri? Oxen. If Evan has a chelas. By the stone that was called the Evan Hazichelis. Rashi in Melachim says that young people used to come to test their strength by moving that rock, how far they could move it. It was a big rock. If you wanted to show your strength, you came to that rock. So that was a big rock. That's where he did his shechita. Tziv Hasam, Chamat Zeich Le'afar. Now the Kasha they asked, and the Rishayim asked the question, is Adinyo was not arguing Amalchus Beit David. He was David's son. He was arguing a Malchus Shleima, not on Malchus Beis David. Yechazal Teichah Achaylik a Malchus Beis David. The Brisker Rav is Medayik from a Rambam that says that Kesher Malchus was given to David or the Shleima Benay. So the male of Malchus Beis David is David and Shleima. And therefore, Adonio was arguing a Malchus Beis David, but the Yad Ramah, Shainim, asked the Kasha, and they say that since David HaMelech wanted Shleima, that not taking Shleima is a Merida of a Malchus Beis David, because that's David's will. Going against David's will is also called the Merida Malchus Beis David. That's what he says. I saw an interesting shot. David HaMelech wrote Tehillim. Tehillim is called Zemer. Zmiris. Im Zmiris Yisrael. Zmir, Zemer. Zemer, the Ben Yehuda says, the letters of Zemer precede the letters of Nachash. The Zion is before the Ches. The Mem is before the Nun. The Resh is before the Shin. He says, the Nachash is the Satan. The Satan tries to block our tefillos, tries to block us from doing mitzvahs. And David HaMelech's Tehillim has the ability to cut through that blocking. When a person says Tehillim, he cuts through the thing. He says, Zaymer is a lotion of cutting, like Zaymer on Shabbos. You prune, you cut away. So he says, somebody who argues a Malchus Beis David is Roy Lakisha Nachash. Because David HaMelech gave Klal Yisrael the ability to overcome Nachash through saying Tehillim, which is Zemer. And therefore, if you argue on Malchus Beis David, you're undermining your up. We'll continue registering tomorrow.